You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Morale is high. Paulie just asked if I would do the Danettes a favor, as if I don't do enough for them. On this Meat Friday, could we maybe have a brunch, maybe have one of the trays that we have on the Traeger grill right now? I'm going to ask you guys to choose, and then we'll see if we can do this. Buffalo chicken sliders, Cajun shrimp, green chili mac and cheese, baked pickles with buttermilk dip, baked tacos, skillet dip, and brats. If you guys were going to choose one that I would take off the Traeger this hour and not make you wait until the very end of the show, if you guys would like to discuss, and then maybe you could bring it to a vote, and then I'll see with Alan, who is our chef slash IT guy, if we're able to do this. But welcome to the program. Already in progress, spent a lot of time first hour talking about what happened last night, the Eagles and the Giants in an epic battle. You got baseball coming up tonight, the Dodgers and the Rays. The commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, will join us next hour. Big Ten is open for business tonight, Illinois and Wisconsin. And then the Ohio State Buckeyes are in business. You guys still with me over there? I lost you.
You tasked us with something much more important.
Yes, McLovin.
Buffalo slider what now?
Buffalo chicken slider.
I promised it wouldn't be a distraction.
Tacos up there.
Okay, I'm going to run down the menu one more time. Buffalo chicken sliders, Cajun shrimp, green chili mac and cheese, baked pickles with buttermilk dip, baked taco skillet dip, and brats. Basically, I'm going to make you choose from buffalo chicken sliders or brats. Yes, Heaton. This shouldn't be that tough.
Well, maybe not for you. I'm going to go with my vote goes towards buffalo chicken sliders.
All right, McLovin?
I'm going to pull a Todd and say, can we do both?
No. No. The answer is no. Now, you know what I'm thinking? Now I don't do any this hour because of that, McLovin.
Really?
Yes, McLovin just cost you guys an opportunity.
It's like that bad reporter question. Now the guy walked off the thing and now none of us can ask a question.
Great.
All right, McLovin can't have any this hour.
Whoa. Wow.
That's big.
That is harsh.
Yeah.
You know how he gets when he doesn't eat?
Oh, I know. I know.
I did a Walker Buehler's pants right there, basically. I ruined the whole press conference.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, not now. Not now. I'm not going to answer that. Not now. All right, so Brady Quinn will join us on loan from Fox Sports. I think he'll be there for Ohio State against Nebraska. That's noon Eastern tomorrow. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Got some phone calls coming up. And McLovin, you got a poll question for the second hour.
Okay, we did the three infamous quarterback failures. Okay. Which one do you least want to have? Mark Sanchez, butt fumble, Daniel Jones last night falling down, or Dan Orlovsky running out of the back of the end zone. Butt fumble runs away with it, 68%.
Yeah, because at least Daniel Jones showed athleticism for 70 yards last night. What happened with Mark Sanchez in a game where they were blown out, and Orlovsky's playing for a winless Detroit Lions team. Daniel Jones now has 34 career turnovers. That's the most for an active quarterback through his first 20 games. Now, the previous record was held by Geno Smith, who had 32. But, you know, this is an ongoing theme with Daniel Jones. And if it continues to be an ongoing theme with Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones won't be the starting quarterback for the Giants after this season. Because if the Giants continue to be this bad, they might be in the market. This is how long it takes, or how short it takes, for you to make a decision on your quarterback. You basically have a two-year window to find out if you have a quarterback or prove yourself as a quarterback. That's when you get a chance to play. That's why the Miami Dolphins are going with Tua. They want to know right now and then give him a full season next year. You saw this with Justin Herbert. They didn't expect him to be playing this early. Now they know that they found their quarterback. The Packers are going to have to wait at least two more years to find out if Jordan Love is their starting quarterback. And now with Daniel Jones, in his last 18 starts, he is 3-0 against Washington. He's 0-15 against everybody else.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, tap, tap. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
I keep fixating on Mark Malone. Was Mark Malone's touchdown run in college and not in the NFL?
According to the guy doing stats today, Tim Baser, and we're calling this Bazewatch when he's in charge of the stats.
He's our Pamela Anderson?
Bazewatch.
Does he do stats in slow motion?
It seems like it sometimes.
Wow.
Bazinator. Wow, you get to taking a shot at the Bazinator.
He teed me up.
I still like the Bazman, though.
Bazman.
Bazmanian devil.
But he said it's Baze.
He said
Tim
it's
Bazer.
But I'm still calling him the Bazman.
Bazewatch.
We're on Bazewatch.
Mark Malone had a 97-yard touchdown run in college at Arizona State in 1978. So he didn't have a run when he was the quarterback of the Steelers. Yes, McLovin.
I'm looking at Mark Malone's mustache in these pictures.
Oh, yeah, he killed.
The wind resistance on that thing alone might have slowed him down.
He didn't have a mustache in college, though, I don't think. He came in and everybody goes, oh, he looks like Tom Selleck. I said, well, hopefully he didn't play like Tom Selleck. Although Selleck was a really good volleyball player in college. Yes, McLovin.
Did you ever have a mustache?
No. Like, I had one. Nobody knew that I had one. It's where you go, no, it's there. And I never could grow a mustache. All right, so we have our poll question, and Brady Quinn does not understand what eye candy is because he's going to join us via phone and not Zoom.
Come on.
It was initially going to be a Zoom, and then I got a note late last night that for whatever reason he probably needs to do it.
You've got to be kidding me. I have an audience that is waiting for eye candy, Brady Quinn, to show up.
Throwing away our ratings.
He is.
Pam Anderson didn't host a radio show.
No, she was on TV. Bazewatch. All right, so the big play last night was Daniel Jones. I thought the bigger play, because they scored on that touchdown, or eventually on that drive, they scored a touchdown. Evan Engram, if he catches the ball late in the game, they win the game. Plain and simple. And we are talking about Daniel Jones in a different way today. And Carson Wentz in a different way. But Carson Wentz, you know, you're down double digits, fourth quarter, at home against the Giants, and you're thinking, how much bleaker could this be? And now, they're in first place in the division. And the team that wins the NFC East hosts a playoff game. They don't go, hey, what's your record? All right, you can come in. It's, we won the division, you get to host a playoff game. And they're probably going to be hosting a team that has at least two more wins than them. If it's the Eagles or the Cowboys. Yes, McLovin?
Someone tweeted us and said that the NFL might bubble that game. Is that happening? Are they going to bubble some of the playoffs? I can't remember where we left that.
Well, why would they bubble that game?
I have no idea because they're bubbling the whole postseason. Someone tweeted us, actually a couple of people said, aren't they going to have neutral site playoff games? And that's news to me. I haven't heard any of that.
I think they've talked about bubbleizing, but I don't know.
How would they do that anyway? Like, where would they bubble? And
well, we brought this up. Now, we did discuss this because I said, what if you did, let's say you did Los Angeles and you were able to have the Rams-Chargers stadium, but you also had access with USC and the Rose Bowl, the Coliseum. You could have X number of teams and games out there if you wanted to. You could, you know, maybe have a destination for the AFC and a destination for the NFC. Let's say you did New England. You know, could you do Foxborough? Could you do Boston College? Could you do maybe even Buffalo? Like, I don't know how it would be logistically. I'm just, you know, speaking off the top of my head. Texas, of course, is always going to be in the mix with the proximity of universities there, with stadiums there that you could use. You could do Dallas with the Cowboys Stadium. You could do Austin with University of Texas. Yeah, McLovin.
Would you want warm weather, though, if this is in January? I guess, yeah, late December, January. So you might not do New England.
Yeah, I don't know what they would do if, you know, are you going to penalize a team on the East Coast? You know, does Baltimore have to travel? You know, they could have the best record in football. Or the best record in the AFC, and then you're going to make them go where? I think proximity of the number one seeds being fair to them, but I don't know if the NFL can factor that in if they're going to bubbleize things. Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, if they get to 17 weeks, what's the point of adding the bubble then?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like if you've gotten through that, you can get through the playoffs. And, you know, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, who's joining us next hour, I mean, they are now in the home stretch. They got at the most five more games, and they're going to pull this off. They went into the bubble for the National League and American League, and it works so far. And he'll join us coming up. I'm just curious about the future of the designated hitter. I don't know if there's any other rules that they're going to stay, keep with, continue to implement. Runner at second base in extra innings, are they going to continue to do that? You're not going to have spring training next year, I don't think. I don't know how you pull that off. When does baseball start next season? So he'll join us coming up. John in Florida joins us on the program. Good morning, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan and Dennis. What's up?
Hey, bud.
I'm a first-time caller, and I just wanted to make a comment about the Raiders and Bucks game.
Yep.
So since the whole offensive line for the Raiders is out or on the COVID list, the NFL will be implementing a rule for Tampa Bay to count to three Mississippi and then rush Derek Carr.
All right. Thank you, John. Yeah, we don't know what's happening with the Raiders' offensive line because they're in quarantine. I don't know if anybody's tested positive, but they're in quarantine. Like, it's vague. I think they get tested today. I don't know when the Raiders are going to know if they're playing this game against Tampa Bay because they've moved it from Sunday night to now Sunday afternoon, and then they put Arizona against Seattle Sunday night on NBC. Yes, Tom.
The other problem is they're investigating what happened. How could the whole starting offensive lineman have it? But since what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, they're never going to get to the bottom of this.
All right.
Dean, not impressed with that one.
Dean in South Carolina. Hey, Dean.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Good, sir.
Dan,
what's on your mind, Dean?
Well, I just want to comment on Daniel Jones, running back. I was a running back in high school, and I know he's a pro, but I was in high school, and I have broke for a 60-yard run wide open, but I got past the 10-yard line, and I fell flat on my face. My legs gave out on me. The next practice, we had to run Dean sprints, 50 yards sprint. Everybody, not just the running backs, linemen. So I felt like a peon, you know. But that's the shout-out to Charlestown Pirates. That's where we played.
All right, Dean, thank you. Yeah, this is how it sounded last night on Westwood One. Ian Eagle and Ross Tucker with the call on Daniel Jones.
Shotgun formation. Jones fakes it. Now he runs. He's got a huge hole. 25-30. And there he goes. Daniel Jones stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there. Running out of gas. Jones had nothing but green grass in front of him. And that typifies what this has been all about. He is down at the 8.
Do you think that's Ross Tucker's Do You Believe in Miracles call? Like Al Michaels had the unbelievable call in the Olympics with USA Hockey. You had Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw. Vin Scully with, you know, the ball gets behind Buckner. Like, we've had so many memorable calls, and Ross Tucker didn't say a word. All we did was laugh. And that's, as he said last hour when he joined us, that was almost like if you're attaching an emoji to a game instead of words. He had the emoji where the guy's smiling and he's got tears coming out of his eyes. Yeah, Paul.
You know, when you brought up last hour, Mark Malone of the Steelers had a 90-yard run?
Yeah.
I know where you're going. We figured it out. He had a 90-yard catch as a rookie. Bradshaw was still the head coach.
Oh, is it like a 2-yard pass
or
something?
Yes. Bradshaw's still the quarterback for the Steelers. Mark Malone was drafted, and he was a rookie, and was way out at the wide receiver, almost like a decoy. And the defensive backs must have got confused or something, and nobody covered him. Bradshaw hit him with about a 20-yard easy pass, and he just...
Okay.
It was like Daniel Jones. He was in the clear. So it was a 90-yard reception, his only catch of his career, Mark Malone.
Did he score a touchdown?
He did.
Okay. Yeah. He completed the process there. Yeah, Mark Malone was a great athlete coming out of Arizona State. And then they drafted him, and, you know, Terry was still there, and I think Terry wasn't too thrilled that they're bringing in another quarterback. Jay in Texas joins us. Good morning, Jay. What's on your mind today?
Dan.
Jay.
6'4", 220. You're the greatest shooter to ever walk into a room, and we all know that. But and you're notorious for not passing the rock. So I really question, I think it was yesterday you talked about how you were the king of the sacrifice bunt and doing it for the team.
Yeah.
I really hate to bring it up. It just hurts. I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Well, I just feel like those are contradictions. I think as the greatest shooter to ever live,
thank you.
You'd be a home run king.
Well, I wanted to be a home run king, Jay. But if I could have, I would have. But thank you, Jay. You know, you're a team player when you have to be a team player, not because I wanted to be. I was already so far ahead of the baseball analytics. Like, I was swinging and striking out a lot back then. But I didn't have the launch angle and exit velocity hitting home runs. But I was trying to, I wasn't sacrificing myself. I was actually trying to get on base. And I figured the best way to get on base is maybe bunt the ball. But thank you for the compliment on my shooting. All right. Big Ten football kicking off tonight. Illinois at Wisconsin. I'm ready. That kind of snuck up on us, didn't it? Ohio State against Nebraska. Even though they haven't played yet, there are five teams in the Big Ten that are ranked. There's Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. Iowa was ranked in the preseason, and they have no margin for error. I saw where if a game is not able to be played in the Big Ten, the Big Ten will deem any football game canceled by COVID-19 as a no contest. They might be looking at winning percentage for a team in the Big Ten to play in the title game if not everybody is able to play the same number of games. And, you know, there's a debate here of how do you get into the Final Four? You're going to need to pass the look test. And this is what I was told, I don't even know how many months ago it was when I told you that the Big Ten was now coming back to play, and they wanted to know, like, how many games can we get in, and is that going to be enough to qualify for, you know, a Final Four appearance? And my source said that Ohio State was told you're going to have to pass the look-see test. You know, how good did you look in those games? They're going to play eight games, hopefully the conference championship game, and that's enough to maybe hold off another team from the SEC or ACC, but we'll find out soon enough when one of America's premier football conferences takes the field coming up this weekend. And Brady Quinn will join us, and he'll be there for the Ohio State-Nebraska game. That's the big game on Fox at noon Eastern. We'll get his thoughts on that as well. More phone calls are always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Say good morning to Peacock. Carried the program all 3 hours. So if you've ever wondered what people look like after you've listened to them, now you have the opportunity. I remember growing up, you'd always hear these voices and you'd always wonder what they look like. And sometimes it's better left unsaid, because when I was a DJ, when I was just out of college, and I might have sounded attractive, but I had a girl who called in and requested some music, and we started chatting during, I don't know what song was on. Maybe it was Green Grass and High Tides, the live version that's about 21 minutes long or something. And then she decided she was going to come down to the radio station that night. And I remember looking out the window, and she saw me and I saw her. And she got in her car, and I went and sat back down and continued to spin records. I think we were both in agreement. She didn't look good, and neither did I.
Usually that works out, though. You know, like, hey, you know, let's agree to...
No, because somebody thinks they're better looking than what they really are. I knew my limitations, but I think she's thinking, man, listen to that voice. Yeah, 96 Rock. You're listening to WTUE Dayton's Best Rock and Roll. Here's Lynyrd Skynyrd. Give me 3 steps. And then she's going, hey, this guy's got a good voice here. And I'm thinking, well, you know, she sounds kind of cute. And all of a sudden, it was one of those where our eyes meet, and we're like, nah. And she probably went, nah. And I went, all right. We'll take a break here. We go from how I look to how Brady Quinn looks. But unfortunately, he doesn't understand this business, because he could have given us some eye candy today. Instead, we'll see how his voice is. It won't match up to this one, if you know what I mean. Right now, my voice sounds like Brady Quinn looks. Yeah, Seton.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break here. It's 21 after the hour. We're just getting started. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Oh, I get a great night's sleep. Like, sometimes I feel guilty that I get a great night's sleep. Because I can see people just going about their everyday, their job, chores. And I go, no, didn't have a good night's sleep. No, didn't have a good night's sleep. And then I just want to say, hey, you know what? Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. And they always have sales going on. For a limited time, save up to $1,000 on the new 360 Smart Bed, plus the smart adjustable base. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep, Todd.
You're all about the base.
Yes, I am. No trouble. Only at Sleep Number stores, or you can go to sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. And as more places reopen and we have the fall activities, quality sleep even more important than ever. And it's also a natural immunity booster. Did you know that, Todd?
Now I do.
It also helps with energy and recovery. People take advantage of the extra hour of sleep Sunday, November 1st, Todd.
That's perfect.
Yes, it is. Sleep Number. Sleep Number store. Sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Do you suffer from lead foot? Do goosebumps appear for no reason? Then stop living with uninspired performance, Todd. Visit mbusa.com/AMG. Find out if a Mercedes-AMG coupe, sedan, or SUV is right for you. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. Brady Quinn joins us, and he'll be with Rob Stone, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Urban Meyer. Every Saturday, they start at 10 a.m. Eastern on Big Noon Kickoff. And Fox Sports College Football pregame show, Nebraska at Ohio State this Saturday. Brady joins us from Columbus. Brady, I'm going for ratings here. And, you know, I'm sure your voice is decent, but we were looking for a little eye candy today, so I'm disappointed that you're just joining us on via phone and not a Zoom call. So would you apologize to the audience about, especially our women, our, you know, the ladies who are watching?
Well, here's the thing is, I've got to do something to drive the ratings to our show, Big Noon Kickoff, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern, as you just said. And so I'm actually just trying to tease everyone. All those listeners of the entire audience at the DP show to tune into Big Noon Kickoff. So that was the actual strategy from all this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe I shouldn't be on camera? I should be just teasing people with my voice to listen to it.
I think you've done this long enough where people can kind of, I think they know what they're getting with the voice, right? Okay. I think they know what to expect. I mean, I grew up watching SportsCenter highlights with you, so I can vividly remember you back then, now, everywhere in between, so.
Well, thanks for joining us, Brady. That's all I wanted to talk to you about. We appreciate you joining us.
Perfect. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Does it feel like this is really, This is happening this weekend? This is Columbus. This is the Ohio State. They're playing football.
I am standing in the shoe right now.
Whoa.
And kind of looking at just the differences of, obviously it's an empty stadium, but there's going to be a few cool things I think they're doing for the fans, for us here at Fox Sports, from what I'm looking at right now, but also the student athletes and then some of the students. So they're trying to make the best they can, but it is now feeling like it's real. It's feeling like this is finally going to kick off tomorrow, you know, at noon, the Big Ten coming back, which, look, in my opinion, is going to be a big player, right? I think the Ohio State Buckeyes are going to be a team that's going to be playing for the national championship when it's all said and done. I think the only if is more about the schedule of the Big Ten not having any room for error, even with daily testing and looking at their protocols. Just some of the hurdles they may have to, you know, get over or jump over just to make it to the national championship game in regards to COVID. I think that's my biggest concern with this Ohio State Buckeyes team.
So you think COVID is the biggest obstacle for the Big Ten, not, you know, playing football and then not playing as many games as the SEC or ACC? Like, what Ohio State wants to play, or the Big Ten wants to play for the national championship. How is that possible?
I think an undefeated Ohio State, Penn State, whoever it would end up being, would have as good of a case as any of the other schools, you know, especially if they have a loss or two in there. But look, I think you're going to have the top four teams, you know, play off for this. And if you're looking at the criteria, we've already seen in prior years the committee not necessarily utilize their own criteria they've created. You know, we've seen teams that haven't won their division, haven't won their conference, still making the college football playoff. So I think they'd be willing to, in a year like 2020, given all the things we've had to adapt to and adjust to with COVID, I think they'd be willing to allow a team that maybe didn't play as many games, but went undefeated in their conference, looks dominant, be a part of the college football playoff.
You can't have a close game, it feels like. It feels like, you know, that margin of victory is coming back to college football, at least during this season.
Well, yeah, you look at Notre Dame, they beat, you know, Louisville, and I know the conditions weren't great last week, and I think there were some people who were, like, kind of put off by the fact that, like, they won. They were just concerned by how much. I think that's the day and age, too, now, of just us trying to determine who really are the best teams, and we look at the way they dominate teams in order to get some sort of inclination as to what they are. And I also think, you know, you look at, like, Clemson, for example, where they're going to be better than almost every single team they play and line up against, and then favored, be a heavy favorite in almost every game. And Dabo Swinney is obviously wants to get some of those younger guys some talent, some time to go in there and play in the second half of games. So when they do move on from Trevor Lawrence, they've got a quarterback who's waiting in the wings, who's got that experience. But unfortunately, I just think in today's college football world, when you only have four spots to play for a national championship, you do have to do everything you can to prove that you should be one of those top four teams, especially if you drop a game. And so that's kind of the unfortunate reality now that we're in with the college football playoff.
And also we're seeing early in the college football season that you don't have that home field advantage without the crowds, that we've seen teams on the road come in and steal some victories here. How do you think that's going to impact the Big Ten?
I think it's going to be exactly what we've seen in the other Power Five conferences. You know, you kind of talked about that. I think one of the reasons for margin of victory and what we're seeing with disparity between teams is just, I think with the really, really good teams can take advantage of some of the continuity that they have with returning upperclassmen or guys who are experienced and have showcased themselves. And for those that don't necessarily have that, they don't have a bunch of returning starters on either side of the ball, they're going to struggle. I mean, they've obviously been limited with not being able to have any spring practice. Training camp was interrupted, and that's where you kind of get to a point where you look at some of these games where they get out of hand, you're like, well, no crap. I mean, obviously, some of these teams have dealt with COVID differently than others, and I think the other thing is they needed more of that practice time. College football is a developmental sport, and so that plays a factor. But there's no doubt not having, you know, home field advantage is going to hurt, I think, some of these teams, especially anyone who plays Ohio State. It's going to be a lot harder to think that they're going to go on the road and potentially, you know, fumble or stumble along the way when you don't have the ability to have that 12th man in the crowd.
Compare and contrast Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Well, I'd say this. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has already kind of, you know, has the equity built in considering what he's already done in his career. I don't know that I have any questions about that young man's ability to throw from the pocket, his athleticism, his toughness, his football IQ, if you will, from everything we've seen. I just don't have any questions. Like, there's really – he can't really go much higher in my mind, and he really can't go much lower, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
With Justin Fields, I think it's the opposite, where he got better as last year went on, especially from the pocket, and that's some of what you want to see. Some of what I would like to see from him, though, is running a little bit more. You know, that's one of his skill sets that they didn't utilize a lot last year because they were worried about what was behind him if he got hurt and he ran too much. You know, now Gunnar Hoke, their backup, he got a little more experience, so he can come in spot work. And they've got two really talented freshmen who are behind him, Stroud and Mills, both kind of waiting in the wings. So a little bit different scenario. So I think you may see him run a little bit more early and often this year for Ohio State. And that's one of the things that I'm curious to see how dynamic he can be as a runner. It's something that at college and obviously the NFL level now, you've got to be able to do.
The Heisman, does it feel like it's a lifetime achievement award for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, but you've seen other, you know, years where guys have won and it's been kind of like that. I mean, let's be honest. It's usually going to the best player on the best team. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of the award. And I think there's certain years where, you know, maybe you don't have one dominant team. And you've got a player who put up a lot of great stats and he's been, you know, good throughout the course of his career. and he ends up winning it. And look, I don't want to throw any names out there, because I think when you do that, then people think it's like a diss to them. But in all reality, you know, he's gotten himself to kind of be in that Heisman conversation every year. Yeah. So there's a lot of respect for that. But I think it would be, if he was going to win it this year, it kind of would be. But he's also earned it to some degree. He's played really, really well this year. He didn't get off to a slow start like he did last year.
Daniel Jones had the mishap last night. What's the most embarrassing moment you had on the football field?
Oh, man. I would say I was rolling out to my left. This is 2009, first game of the year for the Cleveland Browns. I was rolling out to my left, and I literally, as I'm kind of scrambling and flushed out of the pocket, I go to like separate my hands through the football, and literally the ball just kind of came out the back as I was starting to bring the ball up to throw, just slipped out of my hand. And I can't remember if we got the fumble back or not. I remember trying to and all that, but when the ball slips out of your hand for some reason, like, that is the most deflating thing as a quarterback, because then everyone starts questioning like your grip and your, you know, hand strength, hand size, like all those things. That was probably one of the more embarrassing things outside of the plethora of marketing deals that I did.
Wait, marketing deals?
Yeah, like advertising deals.
Like,
did you do a lot of the
shirtless ones?
No.
Okay.
I maybe had one somewhere along the lines in there. But I think there was a Subway one we did, and I'll never forget. They had shaved both Joe Thomas and our head. It's like kind of that rookie hazing initiation, whatever we want to call it. And I had to do this Subway commercial, and I think I was like, it was like a Happy Gilmore spoof. Like, I was like throwing subs to people off some float. I remember thinking back on that going, this was not something I should have agreed to at that time.
Yes.
But, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
What, Paulie?
Yeah, we got it. It's Brady on a float outside the stadium. He's got a crew cut. He's throwing footlongs to people in the band. He hit the trombone guy on out pattern.
I was going to say that the trombone guy actually had great hands. There was actually someone else, too, who had, I think they had some a trumpet or something like that. They had made a great one-handed catch.
Who can throw it farther, you or Leinart?
Who throws it farther?
Right now. Or if Reggie Bush can throw it farther than you guys, I don't know. So out of you guys,
his shoulders are banged up. It would be without a doubt me. Although he's probably been throwing a football a little bit more often because his son Cole, who's a great little youngster, little quarterback coming up in the ranks. But I would definitely say me. I've actually been still keeping in shape and working out. You know, so.
What you can throw it 60?
Yeah, I'd say pretty safe right now. We've got Hall. A little bit of wind, too, so I'd probably be wanting to throw towards the tunnel where the team comes out. But, yeah.
What about Urban Meyer?
No chance. I think Reggie wins that battle.
Oh, wow.
I think Rob Stone might win
that
one. I'm not sure. We have to see.
Wow. And Rob Stone's a soccer guy. Man, okay. All right. Hey, have fun tomorrow, and great to talk to you again. We appreciate you joining us, as always.
Always fun being on. Thanks for having me, Dan.
That's Brady Quinn. Used to play for the Cleveland Browns. Played at Notre Dame, and he'll be part of the Fox pregame show. It's Rob Stone. Rob Stone, a former intern at the Mothership. And now he's hosting. He's a big-time Fox guy with Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Urban Meyer. Every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Big Noon Kickoff. It'll be the Ohio State. And hosting Nebraska. And coverage starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. From the horseshoe. Brady looks like he could still play in the NFL. And Reggie Bush still looks like he could be, you know, Reggie's always one of those, just looks young. And Leinart looks like he's in pretty good shape there too. Todd goes, is that the most handsome pregame show? And I go, I never really thought of it, but I would think of that. Rob Stone, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, throw in Brady Quinn.
Good-looking group.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing to be shy about.
So, Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, don't sleep on David Pollack, Desmond Howard.
Is this our hour three poll question?
No. That would blow up the show. It would take over the show.
Can't do that this late on Friday.
No.
Reese is Southern Suburban hot.
Ooh.
I mean, he would be a one seed in the South.
Yeah, in the South region.
Yeah, great hair, knows how to wear a pair of chinos.
Yeah. But Herbie's been a number one seed for a long time.
He's like grandfathered.
Yeah.
Do Pollock and Quinn sort of cancel each other out?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, it may come down to having Bush and Leinart. And don't sneak on Urban Meyer. You know, for those of us over 50, Cougars love him. And I'm not talking the Houston Cougars. Yes, McLovin.
So are you saying Bush pushes Leinart over the edge in this?
Okay, okay.
I don't know. Is that what happened? With Bush push Leinart or Leinart push Bush?
Aren't you, it was called the Bush push. Right. Aren't you allowed to do that now? Is that play legal now in college football?
Oh, I think so. I apparently see that a lot it was legal the NFL then,
too. Disgruntled Notre Dame fan.
Apparently it was still legal then, too. So I don't know what the issue is.
Yes, Paulie.
They did kind of legalize that play. They made language for that. You could push a running back or a quarterback. You can't pull them. So let's say a guy was being, you were down the other side of him. You cannot pull them in an end zone, but you could push him, which makes no sense.
Yeah, McLovin.
Did the NCAA say that play never happened, that season never happened? Or was that a different season?
Dang.
Yeah. Man.
Dang.
What happened here?
Too soon.
By the way, vacating, that's the dumbest thing ever. We all saw the play.
I know.
I hate when they do that.
I know. But if you vacated the Astros World Series title, do you hate that?
I feel it's a little silly.
See, you would make an exception for that. And I don't know how you could adequately punish the Astros other than you take away the trophy. Yeah, Paulie.
Nobody feels like USC of 2004 with Reggie Bush, I think it was year four, 2004. Nobody thinks they cheated. They're not considered a group of cheaters.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush broke a weird NCAA rule after the fact. The Houston Astros cheated to win a World Series and were, you know, dinged for it.
All right, let me take a break. Phone calls coming up here. And next hour, the Commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Scott! Touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Put her at the goal line and went in.
What a catch. What a throw. What a catch. It's a back shoulder throw by Carson Wentz, and little Boston Scott somehow finds the football. What a throw. What a catch.
This is amazing.
That's what a throw and what a catch. WIP Eagles Radio Network, Carson Wentz. Is he okay with being the starter this week for the Eagles? 359 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Did have a bad interception. He does hold on to the ball. It's called hero ball, where the quarterback holds on to it too long. They play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football a week from this Sunday. Yeah, McLovin.
Aren't we killing him if they lose that game last night? Because he did have a huge dry spell in the middle of the game.
Yeah, probably so. Yes.
But he's like a hero in Philly now. They love him again now. The tweets
are crazy. I don't know if he's a hero.
Oh, there's like pictures of him and Eagles flying above the city skyline all over my Twitter feed.
They beat the Giants at home. Barely.
I know.
Play of the day brought to you by Breeders' Cup, November 6th and 7th. The world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 exhilarating races at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. By the way, the sliders, Buffalo Chicken sliders, just came off the Traeger. And of course, being your boss, I had to try them before you do. And I will say, they're very good.
Very thoughtful.
Yes. So coming up in about 5 minutes from now, I'll let you guys have a single Buffalo Chicken slider. And then we'll wait for the mac and cheese and some of the other things final hour.
Yes. Single for each hand.
All right. You got me there, Todd. If you would like to have two Buffalo Chicken sliders, you can.
This will be the first time he's ever had two, if you know what I mean.
Let me see. Got a couple of phone calls. Oh, Phil in Indiana's back. Hi, Phil. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Always a pleasure. Great to be with you as always. I like Brady Quinn a lot, Dan. I've got an issue with his thoughts on, let's say, Ohio State only gets 7 games in and they go 7-0. Do you put them in ahead of a Notre Dame team or a Georgia team that went 10-1 with losses only to maybe Clemson or Alabama? I think, Dan, this would be the one sport. I think up until now, every sport has been pretty legitimate with its championships. I think college football would be the one you'd look at and say, you maybe put an asterisk next to the national champion just because every conference is so different. I'd love to get your thoughts, Dan, as always. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Thank you, Phil. You too. I think because Clemson and Alabama look great, especially Clemson, and if Clemson wins the national title, there's no asterisk there. I don't think Notre Dame's a great team. I think Ohio State has the potential to be a great team. And if they only have 7 wins and you got the other conferences, other teams that are playing 10 or 11 games, I think Ohio State's going to get in there if they're undefeated. Because college football is about entertainment, too. It's a business. They want Ohio State in there. Now, if you can get Notre Dame, that always helps. But if you can get Ohio State in there, you want to spread it out regionally, if you can, geographically. And when you get those fan bases from all over, now you're not going to have the Pac-12 this year, but you're going to have the Midwest and you're probably going to have the South. I don't think you're going to have anybody from the Southwest, but if it's Clemson, if it's Alabama, if it's Ohio State, and then throw in one other school, and maybe there's an outlier that could slip in there. This is the year they should have done 8 teams in the playoffs. If you were going to do it, this would have been the year. Because if you do it, now I know you can't do anything one time, a single time, because we would see this and we go, we got to do this every year. But I think with the amount of money that is generated, that is being lost by athletic departments, I think this would have been the year that you could have helped out a lot of different programs within the athletic department, not just a football team. But you're talking about Title IX, you're talking about baseball, you're talking about volleyball, you're talking about a lot of different sports that got kicked to the curb here because of COVID. And this would have been the year that I thought if you could expand it, that you would. Because we're not sure about the bowl games. I'm assuming we're still having bowl games. I don't know how many bowl games we're going to have. But if you could have 8 teams instead of 4, this would have been the year to do it. Plus, you don't have that home field advantage with crowds. That's another thing that is always brought up to me where, you know, a friend of mine who works with the Fiesta Bowl says, you know, you're always bringing up, hey, why don't we expand this? And I said, well, I'm not always bringing it up. I'm just saying, if you do it this year, because the crowds, how many games can you go see? So then I countered that with him this year. And I said, look, fans aren't traveling for bowl games because they can't. So that's not an excuse. That's not a valid excuse this year. And to which he agreed with. But he said, what about next year? I said, next year's not guaranteed either. We have no idea. College football with the Big Ten starts tonight. I don't know if the Pac-12 has enough time. I don't think they do. I think this is just basically a revenue grab. Let's play as many games as we can for as long as we can. And I don't think they're going to have anybody who's going to come close to the Final Four. At least it doesn't feel like that right now. Final hour coming up. More phone calls. And we'll check in with the Commissioner of Major League Baseball. We're going to keep the designated hitter in both leagues. Get his thoughts. Baseball tonight, Dodgers-Rays, Game 3.